This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
This is the IT and the D Show, episode 142. We survived PenguinCon and we live to tell the tale.
Barely.
We have a full studio tonight. We got Brian Anderson here from OST talking about business transformation and DevOps. Should be a fun conversation. Later on, we got Randy Krasminski, the owner of Local Apparel, cool startup, all local based. Shirts and other fun wearables.
Well, and for those of you who are Comic-Con fans, we're going to be kicking off the show right after our intro with an interview with William B. Davis.
I am so geeked.
Cigarette smoking so geeked. Man from the X-Files.
And a few other special guest callers, so do not miss this show. Dave, hit the button. The
following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugombo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Jesus Christ. The hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the D Show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
Bob loves it in the camp.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT and the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
That's why I like it in the can.
Which kind of scares the shit out of me.
Shut up, Barry.
Hello, everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie, I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
We got screwed at the same time. Yeah.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop? We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Mugombo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT and the D. Come.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. This is episode 142 of the IT and the D Show. We survived PenguinCon and we are here to tell the tale.
And we're going to get into so much of that later, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to press call on this because I can't believe I actually have the band's phone number right now.
I'm freaking out.
We're going to press call.
I'm totally nerdy. Press call. It's ringing. Oh my God, it's ringing.
Connecting. Oh, ringing.
Are you it's calling ringing. Canada right now? It's going to cost us international long distance.
Oh my God. Domino's Pizza.
Walking on the B side.
This is William.
Mr. Davis.
Yeah.
This is the IT and the D show. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us, sir.
Yeah. Sorry we had a little confusion about timing.
You know, that East Coast, West Coast thing. It is what it is. Yeah. Thank you again so much for taking the time. We're very much looking forward to seeing you at Motor City Comic Con in a couple weeks.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to coming.
So, I mean, obviously, let's dive right in. I mean, everyone knows you, even though you have quite the resume. Everyone knows you as Cigarette Smoking Man from the X-Files, as well as the recent reboot. And we here in the room were curious, as you know, what was your take on the reboot?
Well, I I loved it. I thought it was fascinating. It was curious in a way because we started off with the. You know, launching into the mythology right at the end of the first episode. And then we didn't come back to it until the fifth episode of the reboot.
It was a little weird, right?
It was a little weird. It was supposed to be the third episode, which would have been a little better than the fifth, I think. I don't know why it switched. I have never found out why they switched the scheduling. But yes, so it was... It didn't even really come back in the fifth. It really wasn't until the sixth.
It was really at the end
that it actually came back.
It was like the whole story was back in the first and second episodes, and it was so amazing. And I think the world was so geeked. And then there were several episodes that were just the kind of monster of the week episodes. And I was like, exactly, oh my God, this story is so good. Let it play out for the entire six episodes. And you know, I was so glad you were a part of it because I feel like the thing would not have been complete unless you were there. It was such your character was such an important part of that, and what you bring to the show is so it's just so good.
Good, yeah. It seems to be becoming even more and more of a focus between the good guy and the bad guy, if you like. But the confrontation between Mulder and the cigarette smoking man, it's pretty challenging, pretty interesting.
Well, and it's one of those things where, I mean, it's a little, you know, it's almost the Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, good guy, bad guy, depending on your certain point of view. You know, cigarette smoking man had his own agenda. He was trying to save the world and do his thing in his own way. It just wasn't conventionally accepted by many.
Yeah, you could put it that way if you like. I mean, better to save a few than to let everybody die.
Exactly. So, yeah, obviously, like I said, I mean, obviously that's what everyone wants to talk to you about at Comic-Con. But I mean, and I'm sure everyone that you run into on the street, in a restaurant, everybody else. But I mean, so what else do you have? You know, are you working on any other projects or anything like that currently?
Yes, lots of things, actually. I just finished a series called Continuum, wrapped up about last spring, I guess. Which was a pretty interesting for anybody who likes science fiction. It was pretty interesting. I will be bringing my autobiography to the Comic-Con, so people will be able to buy that if they want.
Really?
Yeah.
And so, what's the title of it?
It's called Where There's Smoke. ..
Excellent. So, and I guess, you know, that's a good question when it comes to, you know, other projects you might be working on or anything like that. I mean, did you find it, as some actors do, that when you become such an iconic character in a specific role, did that hurt you at all when you were looking for other projects to work on?
It was mixed. It was mixed. There were certainly situations where it did. There was a series that was shot in Vancouver here for many years that every actor I know who lives in Vancouver was on this series except me. And I think that was why they just didn't want a reference or a suggestion of another show within this very reality based series. But on the other hand, it has helped me a lot. You know, it's opened a lot of doors, and one of the good things about it for me is that as soon as people meet me, they realize I'm a very different kind of person. They say, "Oh my God, he smiles. He even laughs. He's got a sense of humor.
He's not going to immediately try to kill me." Fascinating.
Right. So this opens up, a lot of casting possibilities. I just finished doing a thing called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where I was a very kindly grandfather, quite unlike the cigarette smoking man.
So speaking of cigarettes, do you actually smoke? I'm sure you probably get asked that a lot, but do you smoke?
No. Yeah. No. I mean, I did when I was younger, so I certainly knew how to do it. you know, I think, you know, like a lot of teenagers of my generation, you know, we started smoking under the bridge in our when we were 15 and thinking we were just hot stuff, you know.
That's
so,
right.
Out you know, the dumpster thinking hot stuff was useful. Useful energy for the cigarette smoking man.
So, and you do. I mean, you have a CV that just. I mean, it spans obviously decades, and you've done a number of roles. I mean, and you know some that you know people probably know, and some that don't. You know, you were in The Omen 4. You were in you know the original version of It that's now being redone. I mean, so what for you? I mean, other than Cigarette Smoking Man, I mean, or maybe it wasn't even the answer to the question. What was the favorite role that you've played in your career?
People ask me that, and you know, it's a really difficult question to answer. You know, I've done some interesting roles in the theater on stage, which I've really enjoyed. I did a really strange thing just a few weeks ago, a play called Mr. Kettle and Mrs. Moon by J.B. Priestley. It's a comedy, and I played the jilted husband. It was just a completely different kind of thing to do.
Interesting.
So the thing actors often say in answer to that question is, you know, what's your favorite role? They say, my next one. And I know that's a kind of quick answer, but it's really hard to say.
I'm sure it's like being asked to pick your favorite child or you know, something like that.
Yeah, well, usually you don't have 100 children to choose from either. You just have maybe four.
Well, not without having a series on Discovery Channel, no.
Right.
Well, so I mean, I guess that's you know that's another good follow-up. So, I mean, I actually happen to have a theater degree. Which do you find you enjoy more, or is it or what are the pros and cons of theater versus screen?
Well, interesting question because. For a lot of my life, I've been a theater director, which is really how I started. I started as a kind of child actor, but I switched to directing when I was at university. And for the next 20 years, I was a director. I was directing in rep in England and in Canada and various places and running theater companies. So I kind of acting sort of just drifted back as part of my career. And I finally kind of took it over. And now, in the last 2 years, I'm back directing, and I've been doing a number of productions in Vancouver as a director. So, in terms of acting, it's always a question of what's the material. And so, sometimes when you'll know from being, if you're a theater major, that we often get really good plays. You know, so, you know, you start to work with the classics or whatever. I mean, that's very rewarding for an actor. And some of the things, frankly, that we get to do for TV movies or science fiction, low-grade science fiction, aren't so great. They're not so well-written. X-Files accepted. X-Files was brilliant, and it was a challenge always to bring it to life. But so it's really a question of what the material is. You know, if you've got good material and a good ensemble situation, you know, then I love either of them.
That's outstanding, sir. I know we had a limited window here with you. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but we are very much looking forward to seeing you at Motor City Comic Con. I hope we can actually get some time to continue this conversation. Any message for the fans of Detroit?
No, I'm just looking forward to meeting you. Come up and say hello and chat and have a look at my photos. Have a look at my book let's make a contact, and hopefully there'll be a panel. I assume there'll be a panel. Mitch and I did a really funny panel the last time. So
oh, that's right. And he's coming out.
You do it again.
He's out here as well for this con.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, very, very cool. All right. Well, again, sir, thank you so much for taking your time to speak with us, and we'll see you at Motor City in a couple weeks.
Fantastic. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
That was...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
William B. Davis from The X-Files?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
No relation to Ann B. Davis of
That's what I kept thinking about. Do you know Ann? I wanted to ask him, but I'm like, no, I don't want to be that guy. Hey, just diving it back in real quick. We didn't really do the whole intro. We need to quickly, if you want to mark your calendars, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, this Thursday, we're going to be doing a Metro Detroit podcaster meetup downstairs at Activate Gaming, 366 Hilton Road in Ferndale. There's like 120 RSVPs signed up for this thing.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and then Comic-Con weekend, we're going to be back at it all again. Weekend of May 13th through the 15th. We got a booth set up. IT and the D, Podcast Detroit, all of our friends.
We have two booths.
Two booths.
Set up.
Two booths.
It's like the Podcast Detroit Village, right?
Boots. We got boots.
We're gonna have
boots.
Do we have cats?
It's my cousin Vinny. Boots.
We have boots and cats.
Boots and cats. I heard there was going to be a Mario Kart.
Knock into boots will be the theme of the weekend. Ooh,
yeah. If it's anything like PenguinCon this weekend, I do not look forward to it at all.
So let's go ahead and just dive in. We did. We survived PenguinCon weekend, and oh my God, what an amazing time. We told – look, if you're listening and you weren't there – it's your fault.
You effed up. You effed up bad.
You effed huge. We are proud to say that we won best overall room party. Our Back to the 80s nights
you gotta
killed.
Say, at closing ceremonies. And best room party goes to IT the D. Yeah, we knew. We knew.
I've been involved with this organization for 7 years. And in the 7 years I've been to Con, it's the best room party I've ever seen at Con. I walked in the room and it's like between the
it was Jake lights. Ryan's house in 16 Candles.
Yes, it was like the archetypical every bad party scene in every bad 80s movie. I'm like, holy shit, I'm in an 80s movie right now. Quick, get some blue punch. I mean, it was like, yes.
I'm just proud to say that as of today, I'm 43 years old and I can still throw one hell of a party, goddammit. I'm proud of myself more than you'd ever know.
Well, I'm not going to lie, Nuri. We were waiting for we were going to win the most improved room party because last year we thought we were going to make our way through it with a Bluetooth speaker and a bottle of vodka and a keg.
It was cute
for a first attempt. Yeah, it was cute. This year, let's see.
Hold on, 2,000 watts of DJ equipment. We had LED lights,
50,000 watts of funky
LED
hot power,
LED lights, laser lights.
No fog machines because the hotel banned them.
Let them. But we went through
four kegs, 24 bottles of vodka, 3 bottles of Jaeger, 3 30 packs of PBR.
That's just because I didn't want to drink the keg beer.
which is even more impressive that we burned through 4 kegs with you not drinking it.
Right? Every time I saw Bob, he was drinking something blue, I think. Was it blue or you're on red?
I don't remember Friday night.
Yeah. So that was the best part is Saturday morning, you know, sitting there and Bob's not feeling good. Bob's not happy with the world.
Bob, right? So I'm sitting at a table just like sweating with his head down. I'm like, Bob, are you okay?
I think we will, like, you know, especially after last year, I think we will now refer to those as the PenguinCon sweats. Like when you get those, those are the PenguinCon sweats. So we're sitting there and I'm like, man, I'm like, you know, I just, you know, I'm kind of recapping the night. I'm like, yeah. And then this happened and Bob was like, what? I'm like, seriously, you don't remember that? And he was like, no. I'm like, all right, well, what's the last thing you do remember? I don't know. All right, well, let's just start stepping back.
Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot and six times.
I played It's Tricky by Run DMC every third song for an hour.
No, because that's what I remember. Like, Tulio just looking at me straight in the face goes, Bobby, you already played this. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And I was vehement that I didn't play it.
See, the thing was Friday night, I walked down the hallway and I'm like super turned up. Friday I had a super shitty day with just like stuff. So I'm walking down the hall. I get off on the ninth floor and I hear 80s music at the elevator. Guys,
we're at the very end of the hall.
Of a curved hallway. And I'm like, oh shit. God damn it. So I walk down your way and I walk in. Bob, it's ear splitting, and Bob just pulled it down just a little bit. He's like,
"All right, fine, you can have a notch.
Do it."
I've been DJing since I've been 19 years old, Nuri. I think I'm on a 95% accuracy of at one point someone saying, "Could you please turn it down, sir?"
Well, and so the one piece of feedback I got after the closing ceremonies was actually Janet. She's like, "You know, if there was just one piece of feedback I could give you, it was a little loud for the room." And so she was like, "So next year," and I'm like, "We get a bigger room."
Yes.
And she was like, well, that's one way to tackle the problem. I'm like, no, that's the only way the problem's going to get tackled.
Yes.
And then next year I bring subwoofers.
Well, it's great. My friend Angie was two doors down, Angie and her husband, and they were laying in bed. And apparently she was like, yeah, it was great. At least the music was great that I had to listen to. Two freaking doors down. And she's like, but they closed it too. At 2 o'clock, it was silent. And I was yep. like, I'm going to sleep.
Well, so that was the best part is when the rumor mill comes back to us that you got a noise complaint at 3:30. And we're like, dude, no, it's not like, and I got all defensive. I'm like, that's not physically possible. We kicked everybody out at 2 sharp. They were gone.
So here's the story, right? I get in a complaint. And I'm like, I'm reading through it. And I'm like, the hotel op staff complains that the 9:43 party was making lots of noise at 3:30 p.m. I'm like, somebody made it a typo. I'm like, someone's idiot made a typo and has no idea what's going on. No idea what time it was.
And as it turns out, it wasn't a typo because that's when we first fired up the gear at 3:30 p.m. on Friday to do a sound check.
Sound check got a noise complaint at 3:30 in the freaking afternoon. Yes. True story.
I was proud of myself. I did the self high five on that one. I was very happy. I was very proud.
Oh my god! So
but we ended up speaking on what, 6 panels?
Yeah.
What was your favorite flirting for geese? I mean geeks,
dude. You know what? That panel there. Always fascinates me.
I love that.
It
panel.
Really, really does. I mean, it's always the guy. You guys didn't really tell me anything.
He was 4 rows back on the right-hand side, you remember?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys didn't really tell me
anything. You didn't teach me anything.
Interaction is good. That's what you're saying. Well, yeah, that's what we're saying.
Then they said, what's the best piece of advice? And I said, you know, Damone had a great piece of advice in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And he goes, don't ever complain. Don't ever be whiny. Wherever you are, it's the best place you could possibly be. You're
damn right.
And then the girl in there was like, he was a rapist. I'm like, oh, what kind of can of worms did I open up? No.
Like, that'll teach you.
I didn't mean it. Just that word. This. That one phrase, I didn't say I wanted to be Damone, just the one, you know, there was good advice, you know, like blood, stupid,
make her
Penguin
Con.
Yeah, I know,
yeah,
have fun with your barrel of monkeys,
exactly.
Because, hey, not my circus, not my monkeys, yeah.
Good luck.
That was one of those, Dave, could you edit that out in post moments?
Yeah, exactly. No, but I like the
10 commandments of networking was packed,
yeah.
The
yeah.
10 commandments of job search was pretty full. Well packed.
I mean, and then I love how in the intro to podcasting, we put a presentation together and then they just added like 6 more people to be on the panel with us. We're like, do you guys know what you're talking about? Like, no.
Have you ever been on a podcast before? No.
And we put a preso together. No. I guess we're not using it because you guys don't know what we're talking about.
And so we wing it.
No, but they were great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, Demon Lobster had a great time talking
those
with those
are
folks.
Fun.
They were a good trip. And that's like, honestly, that's the best part of PenguinCon that, again, if you weren't there, you suck at life and fail because you missed it. Because it's, dude, the cross section of humanity that he's at these things, like it's
so good.
It's the best of all possible worlds. Like, if you can't find something to geek out about at PenguinCon, you have no essence of geek. And by geek, I don't mean that in the Big Bang Theory way. I mean, like, you know, like obsessive passion about something. Like, dude, scarf fighting. There were cooking tracks.
I don't know. What the hell is scarf fighting? No one told me.
In my head, I was having flashbacks to like
Turkish harems?
Like day camp.
No.
Or
yeah,
like summer camp,
whip the towels,
whip the towels
yeah.
And like optionally dipping them in water.
So why did I go to Turkish harem? I see a bunch of like girls sitting around, like, oh, we're scarf fighting.
No, I mean, but God, and all like, dude, the Tom Lawrence's intro to Linux thing was a great track. I mean, there was, you know, and they did a live broadcast on Sunday, you know, the Sunday morning Linux crew.
I still can't believe that on Sunday morning at PingoCon, those guys get up and talk about stuff.
All right, let's be real here. I got up at 6:30 in the morning.
That's pretty impressive.
And got them up and running.
Dude, wow. Slow clap for Dave, yes.
Jesus.
But yeah.
That's why the coffee guy couldn't come around fast enough at breakfast.
Oh, dude.
That was the hotel itself. The coffee guy
went through 2 pots of coffee at breakfast on Sunday.
I actually took the carafe on Friday
morning.
Yeah,
they did, yeah.
I'm like, I'm taking this with me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I mean, just so many great things, so many great people. I mean, it's just, again, all the fun conversations. Yet again, I ran into random people this year that like, you know, I haven't seen in years.
The guy sitting next to me on the Flirting for Geeks panel flew in from L.A.
Yeah, Marco Shiro is one of the coolest people in fandom. He does Mark Reads. If you've never checked out his YouTube channel, check it out. Just Google Mark Reads and he will make you just cry tears of laughter. It's pretty awesome. So,
but yeah, we did good. is and here's how I know we did good, because we have now had three other cons approach us and ask us to throw parties at their cons.
I looked at
and no, like I'm sorry. And Bob, you should be proud. I said no
for once. Thank you.
Well, but I mean, and it's not a no; it's a qualified no. It's one of those things where, like, look, we don't know you. Like, we're at PenguinCon because we're at PenguinCon.
We are not a service you can book.
Exactly. That's right. We're not party whore. Well, are we?
No,
well, we
yeah. are. But yeah. No. Did you happen to like PenguinCon has been going on for this is the 15th one.
14. 15's next year. Yeah,
okay, 15's totally. Next year. But out of 14, this is the first time that someone else didn't win Party of the Year.
Wah, wah, wah.
First time.
I think we love Barfleet. They bring great parties, but seriously, just IT and the D party.
That's a feather in my hat. Yeah.
Ooh, the pizza's here.
Because there ain't no party like an IT and the D party.
Because everyone picks on the kegs and doesn't stop.
Well, it happens when, like, you know, out of the two of us, one's a DJ and the other one, we both have personal friendships with a brewer.
Uh-huh.
And,
Yeah, and the distillery up the street.
And the distillery up the street, right. And we know Ruffino Valentine. Networking!
Right. But yeah, I mean, it just was. I mean, it was I think I got maybe 5 or 6 hours of sleep the entire weekend. Totally worth it. I was a complete waste of space today. I shout out to my day job that put up with my crap.
The story I was telling was like, here I am DJing, and I'm in the back corner of the room. We're in a hotel room, like it's almost like two rooms,
yeah,
like a suite. And in walks 2 9-foot dinosaurs. Yeah. And I didn't even flinch. I'm like, oh, look, 2 dinosaurs. Like,
this like, is my life now.
Like
this,
nothing. Like,
meh, PenguinCon.
Nothing.
This is where we live now.
And then, like, Whiplash comes in from Iron Man 2.
Yep.
And guy goes, dude, play Whip It.
Okay.
And, like, there's Whip It. And then, like, there's, like, a whole bunch of people dancing. So I do Dance Off. I play Dindada.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and then apparently, the pirate party shut down to come to our party. And they just walked in with bottles of rum. And we're like,
okay,
welcome.
I did one shameless self-plug. I'm like, it was midnight. It was my birthday. And I said, I announced it. And that was cheesy. But I don't care.
Everybody was very excited anyway.
I don't think so. They were just... They were self-humoring me. I'm like, it's my birthday. It's midnight. Give me a shot. Like, I'm ready for shots. I paced myself. That was my proud
Saturday
moment.
Saturday, you paced yourself.
Saturday, I went 5 hours DJing. Did not repeat one song, all 80s. Did not get outside the genre.
True.
I was patting myself. I was like, dude. I was announcing it to everyone how proud I was. It's like, I've only been doing this for 20 years. You'd think I'd know what the hell I'm doing.
We should have put you in a tiara for your birthday.
Yeah. I did not want to be the, you know, yeah, no cake. I didn't even have cake last night.
What?
Yeah, I know. That's all right. We got to have dinner with the fams.
We're going to have to do a redo.
Well, because we were going to leave after PenguinCon's over. Like, as soon as we had a panel at, like, 3, the jobs, 10 Commandments of Job Search. It was a great panel. They're like, you guys have to stay for closing ceremonies. I'm like, it's me and my wife share a birthday. I'm like, my wife is going to murder me. And I'm like,
I had to stay for my best party.
Yeah. So I text her and I'm like, we won best party. It's a big deal. I have to stay. And she's like, don't worry, whatever. You know, still end up
we'll
having.
We'll just bump the reservation, honey. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. No, we made it for on time. But yeah, no,
again, huge, huge heartfelt shout out. Ian, Randy, Matt,
Jimmy,
especially Randy, Matt, dude, guys, we could not have done
Darshan.
What we did, Darshan, without you. From manning the door to making the – although I did find out there's a place 0.2 miles from the hotel. Of course, I find it out after the con, but I bookmarked it for next year that will deliver any alcohol order over $100.
So
bookmarked. I saw that on Facebook.
So did I. Bookmarked for next year. Seriously, you guys, we could not have done what we did without your help and support. Love the hell out of you guys.
Like, we got ID? Oh, shit.
Yeah, wait, there's rules around this? What? Yeah.
Dave's going to be gone for half the party on Saturday. We need help.
Dave was recruiting. Dave was wandering. Uh-huh, Dave was going downstairs and smoking and dealing with elevator waits of an hour at a time.
He was checking out the competition. Oh, yeah.
Dave was. Dave was wandering around to other parties and handing out flyers.
Dave also speaks about himself in third person.
Don't be Dave.
Bob Dole.
Hey, we're gonna take a quick break. We're going to be back. Brian Anderson is in the house from OST. We're going to be talking about business transformation, DevOps, all that happy good stuff. This is the IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen.
Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back. This is segment two, episode 142 of the IT in the D show. We are broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, always here with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find out everything you need to know about us. ITinTheD.com. Apparently, I say that too fast per some of the PenguinCon panel guests. But ITinTheD.com. Give us a like on the Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Check out. We are now on Google Play Music. You can find our podcast there on the PC. I don't know if it rolled out to the app yet. But if you are on Apple or Android, you can download Podcast Detroit's app and listen to us live or any of our archives anytime you like. Don't forget, mark your calendars. May 5th this week, Cinco de Mayonnaise. We're going to have a Metro Detroit podcaster meetup. No cover, no speakers. Just hanging out with local podcasters. And if you are not hosting a podcast, you are more than welcome just to hang out. This is not just for local podcasters. And also, we're going to be checking out Comic-Con. We are going to be there on the floor. 20-foot booth on May 13th through the 15th, hanging out all weekend with all of our favorite friends.
Doing all of the things.
And I cannot wait. Hey, just real quick, this episode of the IT in the D show is brought to you by our friends at Weebly. Just like Dave, we've talked about this a million times in the past.
Wait, like Weeble Wobbles?
Yeah, but Weebly.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
You know, we talk about it to all our Podcast Detroit shows. They don't have a website. They don't know how to code. You know, this is one of those things where it's so easy, even a Bob can do it. It's time to get your when I checked them out today, their templates are as good as anything I've seen, if not better, than the stuff out on WordPress. And you don't need to be a coder. And it's free to start, and it's simple to start with Weebly. It was created for people to start their own business and want to be your own boss, or people like me that simply don't know how to code or sick of people like Dave getting phone calls from me to, can you please put a WordPress website out there for me?
Like an RSS feed out there for me?
Right. You don't need to be a web designer. You don't know how to code. And the websites are clean and they're tight and they look really, really professional. All the templates are great. They're segmented out by business, professional, portfolio. Real simple. It's kind of like when we're talking about a giftogram, right?
Where
it's
right.
Like six, seven things. It's real simple to find out. Just drag and drop, publish your site. It is that easy. And you can start for free. Customize your site anytime. You basically own your site. So there's there is absolutely zero excuse why you do not have a website for your business. It should not get in the way of anything. Do us a favor. There's 30 million people right now. You can be the next one. Get started today for free at Weebly.com/IT. That's Weebly.com/IT. Weebly.com/IT. We appreciate the support. Nice. So we are joined by none other than Mr. Brian Anderson. From your second time on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
From OST out in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Open source technologies, yes.
And downtown Detroit.
Open systems.
Systems. See, I knew I was going to get that wrong.
No, they are they're absolutely a monster. They were one of the original monster HP shops. Basically, you guys are over $150 million right now in terms of revenue. Am I correct?
Yep.
When I was back with HP, you guys were around 100. Now you're 150. You opened up a dev shop.
Yep.
You guys are killing it.
We're trying. We're doing our best.
Good, good. So, you know, basically you said, hey, you know, Brian, hey, what do you guys want to talk about, right? And you threw out a couple phrases, and I'm like, oh, no, these are one of those cloud big data phrases. But it's actually legit because this is what I do in my day-to-day at Cisco. But, like, talk to me about what business transformation means to OST and how you're – what are you talking about with your customers when you use that phrase? Because I use it every day.
Yeah, for us, it's the combination of design, development, analytics, IoT, and kind of that concept of DevOps where we're trying to marry all of those disciplines together and also blend it in with, the traditional infrastructure, the typical data center, and now moving more and more to the cloud and trying to automate as many of these processes as possible and streamline that collaboration.
Well, there's so much stuff going on right now because it went from, you know, just a stack server storage network and then I went to Converged, and now it's hyper converged, right? Everyone's coming up. I don't know. Again, it's I don't
think hyper cloud
in the hyper. Yeah, I hope. I think it's next to the hyper cloud. But I mean, is it? Are those just?
I think we saw some of the hyper cloud this weekend.
That was from like 901,
right? Yeah. But I mean, we joke about growth hacking all the time and, you know, big data, like it just, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a legitimate hyper convergence is real, or is it just bullshit? I mean, what's your take?
I don't know. I think it's bullshit. Like, I definitely think, for, you know, I come from the application development side.
Right.
So from my perspective, a lot of this stuff is just the infrastructure, right? It's a database, or it's this incredibly fancy server configuration that I host my website on, or I host a database on, or hosting file storage on, and it's more of a commodity on that side of the business.
But see, how's ACI coming to play now since you're in the application world? Do you care that the application sits now on the stack, or it doesn't matter to you?
No, as long as it serves the users, as long as it's something that is scalable to the nth degree, you know, where we can leverage all of these tools, you know, that are, you know, cloud ready, so that we can, you know, use queues, or we can use service buses, or we can use different types of databases, or we can develop, you know, on, you know, Node.js, or we can develop in .NET, right? I mean, and we've got the tooling to be able to kind of streamline the release process. That's the stuff that matters to a developer.
And that's the thing these days, there isn't the perfect tech. Everyone's bringing your own device. Everything's sitting on something different. Yep. Everybody virtualized differently.
Yep.
There isn't a perfect application. There isn't a perfect development language. No. I mean, how do you guys make that determination when you're sitting in front of a customer?
Oh, so much of it is, you know, dictated by the client, right? I mean, they have a standard. They've been using, you know, Microsoft Stack forever, let's say, and they're a .NET shop, or they're a Java shop, right? And they are, you know, they're kind of saying this is our stack. When we work more with the business side, they don't care. They're looking more for the solution. They're looking more for some sort of business need that they have, and they don't even care how it's architected. They don't care about any of those things that happen under the hood.
They're just a consumer, basically, right? Yeah, they want to see an application
they
work.
They just want the app to work,
right?
Right? They don't even know. They don't even care. It's our job to kind of like bring those disciplines into play so that it doesn't turn into a disaster, you know?
I mean, that's the thing we always joke about is, you know, it's a little bit matured at this point, but it was always like, you know, CIO was on an airplane and read Wired magazine and said, you know, comes back and says, we need to be in the cloud.
Or the back of the like, Delta magazine or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, it's come down to the point where, you know, we had a for my job, I do a podcast just talking about – just to have a conversational, so it's not like crappy WebEx presentations.
Yeah.
But we talked about shadow IT.
Yeah.
And that's a huge problem right now is, you know, VP of sales going out to AWS and turning up a collab solution in a day. So, I mean, there's tons of pressure from a corporate standpoint for the IT department, you know, to keep up with that agility.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's – the question is it really a problem? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a huge problem in the eyes of the IT department, right? And in some businesses, but it's actually how a lot of innovation is happening. You know, you're seeing the ability for people who never had access to this stuff that would have to work through this massive set of bureaucratic processes.
How long it takes to get a server? Oh my God!
Oh,
in most
God.
Companies, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like I can remember starting a couple of consulting gigs, and it literally took. We're billing day one. It took 2 weeks to get a development environment set up. 2 weeks of just sitting there twiddling your thumbs saying, I need a development environment. Can I please have a development environment?
Please,
you know?
Sir, may I have a
Exactly. And now that stuff like is literally the VP of sales can go out and turn that stuff on for people. And you know, or
I mean, is the IT department at XYZ Corporation a dinosaur? Is that just a fallacy?
Is it a dancing dinosaur?
Exactly.
10-foot tall one.
There was two of them in our party. No, but seriously, like, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, their job changed.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And it continued. You know, what's funny. It's like it's moving so incredibly fast, but it's also moving so incredibly slow, right? Like the larger the enterprise, it's harder to turn that thing, right? The smaller businesses, all the startups, they don't even think about it. They go to AWS, they go to Azure, they go to whatever, and they just turn this stuff on. And they start building their entire business off of this stuff. you have these large, you know, environments, and their goal was to keep things stable. Like, don't change this stuff, because if you change it, it could break, and I'm going to have to work all night long on the weekend right. to try to bring this stuff back
up. Super traditional model of IT, right? Don't touch it.
Right.
Didn't that article come out a couple weeks ago, Nuri, where they were talking about, hey, these three cloud providers are staying. Everyone else is dead and gone.
And it was basically Amazon, Google Cloud, and Azure, right?
Yeah. No, it was Azure and Cisco.
Cisco?
Cisco was three.
Cisco makes cloud?
Yeah, the InterCloud, that's a huge thing. But, like, you know, the bottom was, like, Oracle, SAP, you know, these monster, like, IBM, you know, that figured they had to play me too. But, again, it's hard to, you know, when you need to be nimble and agile in this environment, you can't turn the Titanic.
Well, I think a lot of companies, too, even big companies, are trying to figure out how do we – running a data center is expensive.
Right.
It's hard work. Do you really want to do that? So I see more and more companies starting to, like, push their stuff into the cloud.
Yeah.
And basically turn their IT teams into DevOps.
Oh, totally, yeah. And it's like you'll see, like, we're seeing, like, this trend of, like, start dev test or move backup and recovery to the cloud. And then it's like, you know, they're starting to go well, let's take advantage of IaaS, where we move, you know, some infrastructure out to the cloud. And then it's like that next progression is all that, you know, platform as a service stuff. And that in the bigger companies, that stuff still is taboo.
Yeah. You know? Is the entire alphabet as a service out yet? I'm just waiting for that.
How about buzzwords as a service, as a service?
Well, because there was a client of mine that wanted to go.
But you guys know what I meant, right?
Totally, totally.
I'm there with totally. Totally.
Speaking lingo every day.
I live that shit every day in my day job. Seriously.
But they wanted LAN as a service. They wanted to offer, like, per port,
LAN
per user.
As a service?
Right,
what?
But, like, they wanted to deliver per port. Well, they deliver a telco service.
Okay, no,
so
I get
they also,
that.
They also wanted to deliver, hey, we'll build your network also. Everything was per user, per port,
consumption
per
method.
Gig. Per megabit, you know, everything was, you know.
Yeah, consumption.
Everything.
Yeah.
Like, down to the port, like, granular level. So I asked him, I go, hey, can we do something internal as LAN as a service? And he's like, do you mean infrastructure as a service? I'm like, you know what I mean? Can we do this, please? You know, not, you know, but it's alphabet soup for as a service. It's crazy.
It is. It's nuts.
So, I mean, are you guys, you know, in terms of DevOps and stuff, I mean, how many of those are you guys delivering on a daily?
Oh my gosh, it almost daily. I mean, it depends on which angle you're coming at it from, right? Like, in a managed service environment, I really feel like that's kind of the hub of where you could start to think about automating things and kind of promoting that collaboration. It's getting, you know, from the dev side of things, we are impatient people, right? Like, I remember I remember you know, going to clients where we would have a build team. Remember the build teams? And they would be there, like, till freaking 3 in the morning.
Gotta
and, like,
push out the build, 3 to 5 a.m.
And everyone would check their stuff in, and it would take forever. And then
you'd have to hop on the
emails.
Goddamn validation smoke test calls at 4. And, yeah.
21 days to reimage the server.
I mean, I mean, that type of stuff now. I mean, the tooling for doing continuous integration, continuous delivery, and then doing that to, like, kind of the release process to the point where you could be really releasing to production on, like, you know, an hourly basis. I mean, that stuff has matured so much.
But so there are benefits to being continuous integration, continuous delivery. What about the pitfalls? I mean, I see a lot in my day-to-day work that documentation is, like, the last thing to come.
Minimal.
Right. So what are the other downsides of doing it that fast? It's like the breakneck pace of things. It's like,
quality.
Let's break it. We don't care.
You know?
We're just going to figure it out later and
forward. Yeah, the pendulum has definitely swung, you know, like, if we're able to move it this fast, why don't we just push it that fast, right? I mean, how many times can you push the stuff into production and be like, oh, shit.
They call it test and
iterate,
right?
I just realized that this experiment didn't work, you know? And, you know, you're back to you're rolling back and things like that. I mean, but in general, I think that it's a much better way of going, right? I mean, it's a much better process. So, you know, it's just getting more and more people comfortable with that, you know, and weaving quality and weaving the right level of gates into the mix, you know, that it's before it was like the pendulum had swung where it was just a incredibly crazy process where you were held hostage almost, right?
Right. Too much, right? Too much infrastructure, too much process, too much red tape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, going back, Nuria, you've never been to their offices in Grand Rapids. It's my favorite office in the entire country.
What? You've been to, like, many companies in your business.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, God, all of them. It's a five-story building with a roof deck.
Yeah, three stories with a deck.
Three stories. Okay. Yeah. When I walk up the steps, it feels like five. but it used to be like back in the early like 1920s, it was a board game manufacturing company.
What? Yeah. Druky Games Company.
Yeah. So
chess
like
boards and checkerboards, all kinds of
games. So all the rooms are backgammon, chess. They had a monogrammed shuffleboard table. Had to get hoisted in with a crane.
Yeah.
That was on the third floor. I mean, you walk in this place, you were the first office I've ever been to that you walked in and the kitchen was right in the front.
Yeah.
So to the left is like a TV and a couple lounge chairs and a fireplace. To the right is like a bar kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's like a family atmosphere. Our clients love it. We love entertaining people there. It's great.
Yeah. No, like I said, I they do a March Madness party, like better than anybody.
What month is it?
March.
May. Why?
I know. You missed it.
You were supposed to do a live broadcast. What?
I know.
So what's your biggest challenge? Like, I mean, you help customers through this journey, right?
Yeah.
You work with people. What's the biggest thing that companies are working with right now? I'm like, oh, God, this is so hard. This is the biggest shift in my ideological. What's the thing that people fight with?
Oh, man. I think people fight with change. You know, I mean,
remove my cheese.
Exactly. I just think that
I hate that book. That author can burn in hell.
Yeah, I think people really the big challenge is I've been doing it this way for a long time. You know, my job has been shaped around this process.
Like, even millennials, right? Even millennials these days have had that process for 5 and 10 years.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And it's hard to change. It's hard to shift. You know, and that's part of our goal is to help you think through this stuff, right? Help demystify it. Help you shift it. Help you govern it. Help you, do the things that enable it because it is better.
See, to bring it all home, though, it's funny, though. Your definition of business transformation and mine are completely opposite, yet it's so much the same.
Yeah.
When we're talking about it, it's all about the business structure of an IT solution, right? So we're talking, the CapEx, OpEx, and how we're structuring and how we're depreciating and how we're managing the life cycle.
Yeah.
But yet – It all flows together, and it's all the same. It's all the same thing.
It always amazes me how big IT really is in terms of all the disciplines, right? And how they're kind of siloed in a sense, right? Like the developers and the infrastructure guys, they're friends. They might know each other, see each other in the hallways, but sometimes they have no idea what each other are doing on a daily basis.
That wall is falling quickly, though. Like as we talked about with the whole cloud thing, the developers don't want to wait anymore, and the whole days of it's the network guy's fault, it's the storage guy's fault. The compute guy didn't do his job. Those days are done.
Oh, I think so too.
You know, they either got to work together. Like I said, that's why for me, I see hyperconvergence as a huge thing, just because it virtualizes all the things. Mm-hmm. It puts everything on a single plane and it allows you to get that app out quicker and allows people to hit it quicker, and use it more effectively.
Yeah. And from a developer's perspective, anything that streamlines the process, anything that kind of enables us to get back into solving problems, doing working on code, that's the stuff that like makes us, come into work every day.
And I'm sitting between a coder by trade and a CLI guy by trade. So, yeah. And I'm the sales guy, and they're the ones keeping their mouths shut. It amazes me. But, hey, how do we find you guys online? OSTUSA.com?
You got it. That's right.
I'll be out by your building tomorrow to have lunch with your VP of sales.
Oh, enjoy.
Haven't seen him in a while.
Are you going to play some board games while you're out there? Or no?
I'm going to play. We always get a game of shuffleboard in before I leave.
I love shuffleboard.
This is one of the nicest shuffleboard I've ever seen.
It's a weird story. I learned to play shuffleboard on a cruise ship. Worst place ever to learn to play a game that requires you to push something in a straight
no
line.
Doubt.
Anyway, weird story.
As opposed to in a bar.
Thanks, Jerry. Tell it again.
No, in a bar where everybody else learns, where you're not running all that coordinated either. Line. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Brian, appreciate your time. Go to OSTUSA.com if you want to learn anything more. Brian Anderson, OST. We will be back after the break with Randy Krasminski from Local Apparel. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Segment 3, episode 142. This is the IT and the D Show, and we're hanging out live here in Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy here with Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG. Find everything you need to know about us. ITintheD.com. And this segment is brought to you by Merit. If you're familiar with the state of Michigan and Merit Networks, you are. They pretty much are the ISP for all of the major universities. Pretty much every university in Michigan, they got a huge grant, and they're opening up cyber range hubs in Southeast Michigan. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically for cybersecurity training, certification, exercises, product, software, and testing. They are a direct extension of the Michigan Cyber Range, which is the basically the leader in cybersecurity training. Eligible organizations are public ed institutions, any 501c3 interested in cybersecurity training or economic development. There's an RFP out right now. Get your organization on the path of becoming a regional asset and a provider in cybersecurity. Get the RFP at merit.edu/IT cyber hub. merit.edu/IT cyber hub. The RFP is only out till May 15th.
We'll throw that in the recap notes. Absolutely.
Yeah, and on Twitter, but you know, merit.edu/IT cyber hub. The RFP is out till May 15th. So do it now or lose out on a great opportunity.
All right. Well, hey, and I think if I'm reading this correctly, I believe we have another caller.
Ooh. Hello.
Is this Dan?
Yes, it is. How are you guys?
We're doing very good. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, no worries, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we had a great conversation with you actually last year at Comic-Con. I mean, for those who don't know you, I will let you introduce yourself. I mean, obviously, like the one that everybody knows is the Hobbit, but how would you like people to know you?
I'm just a special effects guy from Detroit. You know, I'm a union makeup artist, and I've been very fortunate to have been able to get a little niche here in the Motor City and stay home and, do this crazy thing called special effects makeup. So it's been fun.
Well, I mean, and it's honestly, I mean, it's kind of refreshing to know that there's somebody out there still doing practical effects as opposed to everything being CGI, as so many movies are. So, I mean, what's been the most gratifying thing for you to work on?
I love, you know, I'm a makeup guy in general, and I love the medium of makeup. So, And I say this sincerely, guys, if I'm doing Hobbit or if I'm down at the local, fair doing kids face painting, I'm just as happy because I truly love the medium of makeup. And it's all good to me as long as I'm making people happy. So all the movies I've worked on have been great. I've worked on some huge films. I've worked on some small, low-budget stuff. But everything has a very special place in my heart. So,
you know, I think it's really cool that the whole stage makeup industry has really come into the mainstream now with competition shows like Face Off, right? So it's really bringing an exposure to people. I mean, I know you're on the show, right? So it's
I was on that show, and you had to bring that up, didn't you? That damn kimono. But
I wasn't thinking of the kimono. I wasn't. I was just thinking.
Yeah, you were, man. You were trying to get it out. I know you were, but that's all right. That's all right.
There was no baiting there.
Actually, it's all good. You know, the show was a great show to do. The cast, we still keep in touch with each other. We have a little Facebook group that we all make sure everyone's healthy and working and out there trying to make it in this industry. And, it was one of those things that was on a bucket list, and I did it, and I'm happy I did.
Well, how did you get into it? I mean, I feel like this is a really niche thing in the industry. Like a lot of things are. How did you get into special effects and makeup? What was your start?
Well, I've always had a love, like a lot of guys that do this now. I mean, it's the same old story that you hear a lot of guys say, but it's true. I always had a love for monster films, even as a kid.
Oh yeah.
And I grew up in the inner city, Detroit, McNichols and Mound area. And my dad used to take me to Bel Air Drive-In all the time on 8 Mile. And we'd be down there watching all those old Italian splatter films. And thank God, my dad has passed away now, but thank God he took me and let me watch R-rated movies when I was like 10 or 11 years old, you know, because it definitely stuck. And the movies never freaked me out. I always just wondered, how do they do that? And I would go home and like a lot of weird kids, like they do what I do. I'd steal my mom's makeup and put scars on my face and all my friends' face and stuff like that. And, it just grew from there. You know, I was raised in the time where we didn't have internet and stuff. So, you know, anything I can get my hands on to read and to try to figure out how they did some of that stuff, I did. And I was very fortunate to have been trained under the guidance of an Oscar-winning makeup artist who has since passed away, Dick Smith. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is cinema history, I guess.
Well, and so, you know, you did mention, you know, so like when you're not working on films, like what are your projects here locally that you're involved with?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of things locally. I actually have interns that come to my shop that I'm basically looking for people that have passion that want to learn this stuff. And they come to my shop in Ferndale and I teach them this crazy business. And also I'm working for a company called ROPP, R-O-P-P, Orthopedic. And
okay.
I'm doing some custom prosthetic limbs for amputees. So my skill sets kind of carry over to that world. You know, the mold making and so forth.
Right.
And actually, I met Jeff Ropp, the guy who owns the business. I met him at Comic-Con a couple years ago. And he said, you know, you should check our business out. You may be able to help me out. And so we had a couple dinners. And next thing I know, I was making some prosthetics for them guys. And it's been a joy. Those guys are top-notch corporation. And Jeff's great. And everyone who works there is just amazing. And, you know, he knows I love doing films, so he lets me come and go as I please, which is kind of unheard of for a job. And but he's very supportive, and I couldn't ask for a better situation.
I know that whole world is so interesting right now with prosthetics, especially with 3D printing, and like our materials creation is so cool and allows for things so customized. I'm just it's really cool watching that whole thing, and what you bring to that's probably another level of even cooler stuff.
Yeah, we were able to do a young lady. And if you go on my Facebook page, it might be down there still. She was 5 years old and she was a double amputee and, wow. Her legs. And we actually made Frozen legs for her from the movie. So,
oh, you know, dude.
We actually had Elsa come in. We had an actress come in and deliver her legs and she was just ecstatic. And, so those are the things that really make me happy. And, you know, I had a guy tell me when I first did the job, you know, he told me this kind of gets my throat a little bit, but he said, you know, I fitted him with an arm prosthetic. He goes, this will be the first time I can brush my teeth by myself.
Wow.
So just things like that, man, really kind of bring it all around to me, you know, and that's what I love doing it for those reasons alone.
That's very, very cool. So
yeah.
You're going to be at Motor City Comic Con in not this weekend, but next weekend. So like what sort of stuff are you bringing with you to set up in the booth? Well, like what people,
well, we had such a huge success last year with that zombie photo booth and I'm going to bring it back this year. The zombie's going to be even cooler. We're going with a, medieval style zombie. It's going to be really cool. And then also, I'm going to be advertising a lot more and giving out a lot more information about my internships that are coming up. But I'm really excited about my makeup demo. I believe I'm doing it on Saturday. They haven't gave me an exact day yet, but I think it's Saturday, one of the panels. And I'm doing the Frozen King from Game of Thrones. So
really?
It's going to be a really cool silicone makeup, full silicone makeup. And matter of fact, Jeff Ropp, the owner of the company, is going to be my model for that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And he's excited. I'm excited. And
during a panel, is this going to be sort of like your equivalent of, say, like a speed painting session?
Well, yeah. You know, it's really funny you say that because every year I do these big, you know, I'm at my shop and I'm like, this is Comic-Con. This is the biggest one I do.
Oh,
and
I know. I've seen your booth. I'm aware.
Yeah. Well, I don't do a lot of these. And they're so nice to me there. And I really want to help them do everything I can do to make their Comic-Con a success, you know? So, them inviting me back again year after year. I know the routine. I'm the flavor of the week. I'm the boy from Michigan, but you know, I try to give everything I can for not only the Comic-Con itself, but for the people that love the face-off shows and all the movies that I've done. So I really try to go as big as I can for this big Comic-Con. And, it's the biggest one I do. So I don't really leave Michigan very often to do these things. So, The Motor City Comic Con is the biggest one I do, and it's going to be huge. This makeup that I'm doing is going to be off the charts. If you guys are there, please stop by and take a look.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got a booth, I think, right around the corner, Freeman. So, yeah, we'll awesome. Be living there.
Very good. Yeah, come on by, please. I'll throw you guys in with the new zombie. It's going to be fun.
Oh, very cool. All right, well, hey, Daniel, thanks for taking the time to call in. Anything else you want to get out before we cut you loose? I don't want to take up too much of your time.
No, man, I just want to say, you know, for guys like you that do this for us, little people around Detroit, keep doing it. You guys rock. thank you so much for supporting me and all the other people around the Wonder City that are just trying to do the best they can out there. And you guys rock. Everything's going to be great. Comic-Con's going to be so much fun. Come check out my booth. Get a picture with the zombie. It's going to be awesome.
Look forward to it.
Very cool. That's Daniel Phillips, everybody. Thanks again. Thanks for taking the time to call. That was a very cool story, man.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, year after year after year, that has got to be probably the single-handedly nicest guy that's on the floor.
Oh, dude, he sat there and talked with me for a half an hour.
He would have, yeah. He would have talked to you for three if you, yeah. You know. But just the most, like, genuine. Most people are like Robert Carradine. I don't want to sign your stupid picture. Where this guy is like, we'll give you
shut up, Skolnick.
Like, I'm cold. Here's a shirt off my back.
Yeah.
You know, it's refreshing.
He's just a great guy. And he does. I mean, his booth is always so elaborate and over the top. It's amazing.
It's like, dude, you did the Hobbit makeup. Like, and he's so like, yeah, I don't care. Like, no, you did the Hobbit makeup. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's like. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, man.
But hey, speaking of hobbits, no, kidding.
I was like, yeah, speaking of whatever,
he's like 6'4". He's like six, like the opposite of a hobbit. One of my older friends from high school started a cool apparel company. Randy Krasminski is live in the studio with us, the owner, proprietor, CEO, president, chief of staff of Local Apparel. Trying to make up some more titles for you, but Randy, thanks for hanging out with us.
The doer of things.
Exactly. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, you started a company called Local Apparel. I guess talk to me about how you know what
that
what
Bob allegedly got our shirts from.
I did. I don't know where they are. I have mine in my house. I don't know where yours. But I mean, talk to me. Like, how did you wake up one day and say, "Hey, you know, I want to start a clothing company"?
You know, the story is kind of a simple one. It's a few years ago. I got divorced and. I didn't really like being at home on the weekends where I didn't have my children. So I would go up to Traverse City where a few of my buddies relocated. They were builders during the crash, the housing crash. So I would be going up there on a regular basis. And I after a couple of years, I found myself in a restaurant with these three brothers, the builders. And three sets of people had come in and said hi to my friends. And then they all said hi to me as well. Three separate groups of people. And my buddy looks over at me and he says, "Man, don't act like you're local, dude. You don't live here, man."
Right.
And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Hey, you got to earn it." And right from that moment, I went back home and I had a couple of shirts made up, just said the word "local" on them. I brought them up to the boys and I said, "Hey, the next time we go out, you guys wear this. I won't wear one, and everybody will know that you're local and I'm not." And I did a little post on a social media site. And I had 40 sales. I didn't even have a business at the time, and it just ran from there.
So, I mean, but now, you know, before it was Local Detroit, and you kept it real simple. And as I followed you over the years, it went from, you know, local, you know, you put it in like the Michigan State fonts, and you put Tigers fonts and stuff like that. And now it's
Wayne
become
fonts.
I mean, and now it's become, dare I say, national, where you can pretty much put anything, any city, any country, any profession,
nationality, hobby, you name it, lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, and then the cool thing, what we did is made it Local Podcaster.
Yeah.
And had them custom made. So, I mean, that's a kind of a cool thing for, usually you don't see it for clothing companies, especially screen printing. So, I guess talk to me about that. I mean, you guys are turning them around. I got it in like a week.
Well, we actually get them out quite quickly. They're I call them one and done, but what it is, it's a you can do some of them heat press. You can do some of them with what they call direct to garment, mm-hmm. And it's new technology. So with this new technology, I was able to create a website where you can have what you want on my shirt. So I have a logo, Local logo, and it's trademarked. So my Local logo that's trademarked, you can type in anything you want, Local Podcast or Local Detroit, Local New York, Local LA. You want to do your, if you're Polish like me, Local Polska. My parents love that, you know.
I want the ones for my wife.
Yeah. And with everything that we've been doing, we not too long ago, I lost someone important to me to cancer. And just in an instant, I decided to make this business part of something that can give back to cancer research, because it is a horrible, horrible disease. And if we can make something out of nothing, we want to be part of that. And that's what we're doing. So our business model has changed recently. We went from We went from apparel that was not necessarily USA made to all USA made.
And that's rare these days.
I know, but how can you be local if you're not?
Yeah. I remember I got turned on to Lucky Jeans because they were made in the US.
Yeah.
And now they're not. And they don't fit right anymore.
Well, see what happens.
Maybe it's because I'm getting fatter. I don't know. Maybe one of the things.
Well, you know, we all are, buddy.
Right, exactly. We're all getting old. But no, having it all U.S. I mean, wasn't American Apparel old and then they changed? Right?
You know, I did some business with American Apparel. I like them. They're a good company. And I just find them they run a little small. So I went and did a little homework. Did a lot of homework, actually, to find a good product that I like that I – really believe that everybody likes. I've not had no complaints at all. Like I said, you bought one?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. It was easy.
Local, trademarked. I mean, are you seeing any issues like the Detroit versus people where, you know, the Detroit versus everybody where now, you know, you've got Toronto and Cleveland, everybody are like, you know, ripping off their thing and they're having to go to court over it? And
you know, I haven't seen anything like that yet. There's a gentleman out of across the country who also has a company called Local, but he does just the word local, where we do local anything.
Gotcha.
So we're in conjunction with anything and anything. And if you speak to a trademark lawyer, which I am not, and I want to be clear on that, I'm not quoting law here, but I've been told it really is do what you're going to do, do your business, and if someone has an issue, you go to court. That's it.
Well, the Detroit versus Made in Detroit, it's got to be a nightmare how those brands just get bastardized by anyone making wrestling shirts and things of that nature.
I know. God, the nerve of some people.
Crazy, those idiots.
Well, you know,
do stuff like that.
If someone's copying your stuff, then you're doing it right. It's kind of a flattery.
True. They say, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
That's right.
Said no copyright lawyer ever.
Right. Unless I'm getting paid.
I think that's another idea for shirt, by the way.
So I mean, when do you get to the point where this is this is your job, you know, because just like this podcast in the studio, it's kind of what we laughingly call our free time. When does this become your job?
Well, that's the ultimate goal, obviously. I have such a passion for this. It's such a cool job to be a part of, and you know, of course, be the founder, and I handle everything at this point. You know, I do have some professional help, digital marketing, things like that. Obviously, the printers, they handle other thing and they ship out for me. But the you know, guts of it all are from me. And ultimately, I'm thinking it's going to happen sooner than later, be real honest with you. You know, people love it. They love it. The cancer shirts that we do, Local Fighter and I Love a Local Fighter, are a huge hit. Of course, we give proceeds to the you know, the American Cancer Society Fund from every sale, and again, American made.
I mean, I could see, like, yeah, the firefighter, cop, military.
Oh, yeah. We do those military. Things,
I know. That's
well, why we do it all, actually. But
those things, I could just see, like, unless you don't know about it, you know, that's what you reached out to me not too long ago to say, hey, man, I need help with my social and my SEO and all that.
Yep.
That's why I'm like, hey, get on the podcast. Well, then we'll talk about it. But, you know, that's one of the things, like, if they don't know about it, you know, they can't go buy them. But that's one of the things, you know, we'll talk offline, but try to get you, you know, out in front of those guys. Like, the fire department guys. Those guys are rabid. Every time I travel out of Detroit, you know, I got my buddies, you know, Joe Rawflesh and all them. They're
oh,
like,
yeah.
Hey, man, pick me up a fire department shirt, please.
You know? Oh, yeah. Barry Bundack.
So yeah. So I got to go find a, you know, local fire department and grab one of their shirts. But I'm just
Philadelphia,
saying,
1 o'clock in the morning. Where are we going to find a firefighter shirt?
Yeah, I know.
Shut up, Bob.
I found one in Manhattan, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's limitless. I mean, that's the whole key is we do anything. And we're a great source for someone who wants to get a shirt where you just can't find it online or you can't find it in a store. And you're like, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm into. Come to us. We'll make it. American made. One and done.
So, I mean, so what's next? Are you sticking to T-shirts? Are you going to get into jackets? Are you going to get into hats?
We're going to get into all of that. Right now, we're kind of keeping it simple to start because – the company's 5 years old. We started out with a completely different business model, which we, you know, we had no idea we were going to grow this fast and be this, you know, successful to the public. And we're happy about that. So we evolved a little bit. When we evolved, we changed the website. We changed the name. We changed basically, you know, from non-American made to American made. And, of course, now we give back to proceeds to cancer research. So all of that changed. So our website itself, when I said to you we need help optimizing it, it was because it was brand new. We just started in February. and with the new site. And we went from I Love My Local, which was really easy to find on the web, to Local Apparel, where local is
I lost.
You got a lot of competition with the word local. So yeah, but we'll get there. I'm not worried about it.
We're gonna get you on Shark Tank.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Pitch it to Cuban.
Well, and so, a good question. Like, I want to go and I want to get a T-shirt made. What's it cost?
T-shirts are 30. We have tank tops are 28. And the hoodies that we have are 65. And again, they're all American made. They're very, very good quality shirts. And of course, when you are doing a one and done, it's artwork.
Setting up the screen. It's setting up the art.
And what the material that shirt is made of compared to like the stuff you get from. Like, I don't know where it is. I'll order you another one. Compared to like the stuff we ordered from I forget what the stuff we could do one offs, like the Kwame shirts we did. The quality is second to none. Like you could tell that this isn't going to be I wear it four times and it's all rubbed off and I got to throw it.
Wash it once and it's
wash my car with it now. This is like actual good. You know, when you click the plus $5 when you get the better shirt, he's already giving you the
it's built in.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. And again, we give back to cancer research up to 10% of the proceeds. So. You know, we got to build that in and we're happy to, you know, to donate.
Well, that's a big thing now. I don't call them the feel good products, but a lot of them have a social tie to it, right? Whether you're supporting someone like, hey, buy a computer, give a computer to some, poor child, or, you know what I mean? There's tons of companies we're seeing now that have big social ties.
I think that's the way to go. I mean, in my mind, you know, quite simply, if you've, we've all been very blessed with everything that we've been given in this life. And if by chance we have an opportunity to give back in any way, shape, or form, why would we not? You know, and I'm happy to do it. I'm proud to do it. I hope that a dollar that we collect from selling a shirt, from something that's out of my mind, is the dollar that cures cancer.
So yeah. maybe that's our approach, Bob, because, you know, we keep hearing all the time that there are certain people in town that don't trust us because everything we do is free. You know, maybe we start charging $5 and $5 of that goes to charity.
Actually, Bob charged me $200 to be here today. I don't know what's going on.
No, that was the how to lose $20 at a networking event.
Yeah, you show up, you give us $20, we turn around, we go to the bar, we buy you a $20 gift card, we hand it to you, we slap you and say, never do that again.
Exactly. That's the point. But hey, localapparel.com.
That's right.
Any color, any, you're basically local. If you're a bartender, I mean, really, and you can make your own. So,
that's got so many up.
Local hottie.
Oh, yeah.
Local, you don't do potty words.
You know, we keep the bad words out.
Oh,
you know,
Randy.
We did do a local badass. We have a local
that's
badass
fine.
Shirt.
That's, right.
That's a cool one, you know. Local state fan, local Detroit football, local Detroit hockey, local Detroit basketball, local Detroit, you know, local Hamtramck. You want to do
local
it, we'll
bar
do it.
Fly,
you
local,
know?
Local alcohol.
I can't get local asshole for Dave.
You cannot.
God bless
cannot.
It.
Local Lake Orion.
Nope. I don't even think that we do a dash hole, to be honest with you.
A asterisk hole. But hey, Randy Krasinski, localapparel.com. Appreciate hanging out with us. We got segment 4 coming up. Hopefully you can hang out and add to some of our – we're going to talk goofy stories.
We've got
Aloe Ash calling. This is a crazy, crazy show this week.
It really is.
And we're going to go to a quick break. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D show.
ITinTheD.com. Hit the beat now.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D show.
Welcome back. Segment 4, episode 142 of the IT and the D show. And this has been a crazy, crazy show. We've had call-in guests from Motor City Comic Con. And we have a call-in guest right
now. A little bit of that, yeah. So let's – Aloy, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So on the air with us now, we've got Aloy Ash, who in addition – and I'm not going to lie, I find this stunning and incredibly hard to believe. In addition to being a just amazingly attractive model, you are also a welder?
Yes.
Like by trade?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a combination that one would necessarily think of. No,
you don't see it often.
So I guess tell people a little bit about who you are, and what you're looking to do Motor City?
Well, at Motor City, I love meeting all of the people and, you know, just seeing all of the costumes and stuff like that. I'm a large part of all of their cosplay stuff and always judge the contests. And I've done panels in the past. And just seeing some of the creativity that people come up with is absolutely mind-boggling. And then obviously meeting a lot of the guests and everything that's going on there. But me personally, I like you said, I model and a welder. I also bake. I am kind of a Jill of all treats, if you will.
Okay. So I guess like when people are coming to see you at Motor City Comic Con, like what are you looking for them to talk to you about?
You know, anything and everything.
Other than the obvious, can I get my picture taken with you?
You know, that's completely okay. that's completely okay. I love talking to people about their costumes and, you know, helping with ideas. Meeting, you know, my fans. I have a over 500,000 fan base at this point on my Facebook alone. So just getting to meet a lot of those people is always super awesome.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you've done, a couple dozen magazine covers, if I recall correctly?
Yeah, I've somewhere between 20 and 30 at this point. It's kind of hard to keep track. And I've also done two international television shows, Fast and Loud and Mad Scientist.
What I don't know about those. What are they?
Fast and Loud is on Discovery Channel, and it was and still is one of the largest viewed shows out there as far as like car garage building and stuff like that. And then Mad Scientist ran for a season, I believe, and that was on National Geographic, and it was just backyard builders building crazy, you know, metal contraptions of every sort, from, you know, motorized things that run to just giant, awesome, cool stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, are you going to be at Con all 3 days? Like, what are you looking forward to there?
I am always there all 3 days, and I am a stickler for staying at my booth as much as possible and being there until the last person walks out the door. So,
unlike many of the guests there.
I know I will be there pretty well nonstop. I mean, obviously, you got to take a break every once in a while.
Right. Well, yeah, and honestly, I don't know if you remember or not, but one of our little side projects is XICW Wrestling, and we actually drafted you into being a valet for one of the wrestlers when they were there at Motor City Comic Con a few years ago.
That was one of the coolest experiences, actually. It's just one of those things that you never think you're going to do, and then it's kind of cool when you get to do it. So, no, I definitely remember that.
Very cool. All right, well, hey, looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks. Anything else you want to get out before we cut you loose? I don't want to take up too much of your time.
You know, just definitely come out. It's an awesome show, and I have quite a few new prints and stuff like that I'll be releasing specifically at the show this week or the weekend of the 14th. I definitely have some awesome stuff happening at my booth, so definitely stop by.
Very cool. And where can people find you online?
Alloyash.com.
Ah, you finally got it up and running.
Yes.
I remember that conversation from last year. All right. Well, cool. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks. We'll go ahead and cut you loose. Thanks so much for taking the time to yak with us, and we'll see you next weekend up at Motor City.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I had a question for her, but I know it's always hard to ask because there's no way she would answer. But it was like weirdest guest at every con. Like there's got to be – like when you look like her – and you go to one of these things.
Oh, there's got to be the closet case stalkers. There has to be.
Totally. You know, and I know she can't talk about it because, you know, because they're gonna be there.
She's also from Detroit, right? She's a Detroit
local. Yeah, totally.
Oh,
she's,
yeah.
Just like Dan, yeah.
So
but, like,
good.
I really like your costume when you dress like Harley Quinn. Like what do you – like, here, that's a thing, like, I'd love to ask.
I swear to God, I meant to say great tats.
I swear to God. No, but, like, how do you answer that? Like, remember that one time in 2007 when you were –
You answered my tweet.
Right. Like, do you just say, uh-huh? Like, I know it was – dude, look, we had, like, three people recognize us at Penguin Con and we're like – Oh my god, that was out. Weird. Like,
imagine if you're like, you guys are so famous.
Locally whatever. World famous.
No, you're like Aloy Ash or like Rhino or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, every day, like there's 16 people fist pumping you going, dude, Rhino or dude, Aloy Ash. Like,
no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess just to double back, since this is segment four, anything with PenguinCon we didn't really dive into yet?
I'm just so goddamn tired that I'm going to go home and go to sleep.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. It's
awesome. No, you're not.
It's a long – it's a long
– we isolate that.
It's a long – it was a long weekend. I mean, it was
– Can I go through some of the dumb stories of the week?
Absolutely.
Yes, we have a ton.
We have a list. Because segment one was completely trashed. So, yeah.
It was completely awesome.
The one story that came out that I didn't know how it happened is, you know, like everyone's on Snapchat and there's that filter on Snapchat that shows your speed, right?
Oh yeah, the speed filter. Story.
So imagine like, okay, it becomes like a contest. It's kind of like when you have your own breathalyzer. It's not to keep it legal. It's like a it's like a game.
Dude, it's blue.
Who can get the high score?
Yeah. So someone got in an accident and they Snapchatted a picture of them doing 107 miles per hour and wrecked their car, but Snapchatted it like right before they got in an accident. And so like. Even I knew that existed,
yeah,
but I'm like,
it was 107 miles an hour, right?
OMG, like, airbag deploying.
Who's the guy in the boardroom though going, we should let people take pictures of how fast they're going and then tell their friends.
Right. Don't be distracted driving by using your cell phone while driving, but here's an app that encourages you to use your cell phone while driving excessively fast. Yeah.
NASCAR.
But is that but again, is that Snapchat's fault?
Yes.
No.
It's just the breathalyzer's fault too for making me drink more because the more I drink, the higher the number gets. It's like Defender
B32.
Yeah, it's you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
But it's a stupid idea. Like, why did it's kind of like Nuri says it's fake, but that app that says send me to heaven.
No, it's not fake. It's totally real.
But like the app, like the guy hated iPhone, so he made an iPhone app. And judged how high you can throw your phone in the air. And like then people started bitching on Twitter that they were breaking their phones. Like people actually did this.
Yes, you Doomkopf, right?
Right. It's like, yeah. I got 16 feet. You know, like then the third guy doesn't catch it. It shatters on the floor. It's the dupas that when the weight app on the iPad and they'd step on the iPad and go, shattered my iPad because I stepped on it because it didn't tell my weight. It's like, no shit.
I spit my beer when you said that earlier. I'm like,
somebody told me I was supposed to put screws in my tires to get better traction in the winter and I did it.
Can we all just high five Darwin right now?
It's,
like, please.
It's so good. I mean, how I mean, honestly, I saw it on a meme, so it must be true. And then they go and stick nails in their tires.
Throw boiling water on their windshield to clean all the ice off quickly.
Oh, yeah, that's
we all did that in high school once. We all thought.
No,
all,
I never did.
Oh, I totally.
No, I never did.
I dump water all over
because physics. No,
I don't have a scraper. Remember, never have. Right.
What's so good about that app that sent me to heaven is that the guy basically said, "I think it's ridiculous that people spend $700 on a piece of technology like that." So I'm going to try to figure out how to make them to destroy it. So basically, the guy's entire intention was getting people to wreck their shit.
So he's like the app version of the Unabomber.
Kind of.
It kind of
hates
goes along,
technology, wants to figure out a way to destroy it.
Yeah. Garfield. It kind of goes alongside with dumb lawsuits and the dumbest one. I think this is the dumber. This is dumber than the hot coffee lady. There's somebody suing Starbucks.
Oh, I hate this story.
For $5 million. Not billion, million. Right? Which is still a lot of money.
Because why?
Because they –
Wait, she ordered what?
There was too much ice in her iced coffee.
Wait, hold on. So it's not the hot coffee lady?
No.
It's the cold coffee
yes.
lady?
Yes.
Right.
Because
there's too much ice in her iced coffee.
Right. When you're paying $6 for a cup of coffee, you can really bitch about anything, right?
No, you really can't. No, if you want to bitch about the price of cups, go to Victoria's Secret.
But if you order,
no, she does.
Just imagine though, like I'll take an iced coffee, no ice. I think you would make the baristas or the coffee lady's head explode. I refuse to call them baristas. I don't know why I did that.
I'm going
to
do that tomorrow. The Lake Orion
iced coffee,
Starbucks.
No
I'm
ice.
I'm going to ask for an iced coffee with no ice. Just watch.
Just film it. Make sure you film that. Make sure you film that so we can have it on the
screen. They're already having a hard enough time, Nuri. Just leave them
But
alone.
Somebody took that lawsuit. Like, are you kidding
me? Is it
class
action now? Is it like
– No,
it's just the one person.
Yeah, one person.
Has she drank $5 million of punitive damages? I mean, seriously.
Well, because did you getting into it, it's – okay. So she's mad because she ordered a drink that is 14 ounces in size. but there is not 14 ounces of coffee in her iced coffee. Well, displacement and math, you're asking for ice to take up some of the volume of the cup that would otherwise be filled by coffee.
Okay,
therefore,
it
is not going to be 14 ounces of coffee because math.
Can I have a hot coffee hold the hot?
Like, she doesn't sound like a gold card member, I'm not going to lie.
It's false advertising, it sounds like.
Thank you, exactly. But I think the dumbest, or the my, I'm not the dumbest.
Do you bitch when you order the 16 ounce, you know, New York strip, and you know, like there's the 0.4 ounces of fat you have to cut off that you didn't actually get the full 16 ounces of.
Are you gonna eat your fat?
Right,
Spalding.
Spalding.
But my favorite story of the week.
She was this close to snarking right there. We almost got a snort.
I love the stories that come out when huge events happen, and it takes a dip in internet porn traffic. And apparently,
dude, this is amazing.
Like Super Bowl usually does it, where it'll dip for like 2 hours, then if the game's a blowout, porn traffic like dips back up in the third quarter.
Okay, back to masturbating.
Yeah, but this one, like the Game of Thrones. Basically shut off Pornhub, for a solid hour. Like literally traffic went to a screeching halt and then darted back up like with
all of the Game of Thrones related search terms, like, which I thought was hilarious.
Like the boner after seeing Khaleesi naked, the traffic shot up like a rocket and they went back into business. But it again blows my, like you're watching, like I don't get it. How do you go from like surfing porn, dude. Oh, shit. Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Back to porn.
Porn. Like, the thought process.
Priorities.
Granted, we go.
Jacking it. Oh,
dude, we're retro porn watchers. We go back to ASCII porn and, like, taping shit out, like, Young Lady Charlie on Cinemax, man. Don't tell me how to. Like, I know what I'm, like, around my, you know.
Sort of a connoisseur, you might say.
Right.
It's because of porn that I couldn't watch Game of Thrones. I remember I downloaded the first season onto my computer, and so I traveled for work a lot. So I'm sitting there on the airplane. I'm like, oh shit, boobs, lots of boobs. Oh gosh, boobs!
I should not be watching this on the plane.
12-year-old leaning up the aisle, looking at me in first class, saying, "Oh boobs, oh shit, boobs."
I felt so stupid.
Thank you, mister.
I have like six movies. Like this is when I had my little tablet and I had like six movies loaded. And it was like Animal House and Revenge of the Nerds and all that.
And you'd always
get to like the boob bush part and like, oh crap, I'm on a plane and I have to like put my hand over my – I feel like an idiot. I feel like back in junior high when you're like your mother was
– My mom walked in. Crap.
Oh my god. Speaking of which, my mother helps out with the baby on Mondays.
Right.
And she's over and I'm catching up on DVR before I'm coming to the podcast and I'm watching Dice from last night. And she walks in, so help me God, the second that they're arguing about giving Dice a sympathy blowjob. And she's sitting there watching with me and I'm like, this is the most uncomfortable moment of my life. And I'm like,
so hi mom.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like, and she's like, who is that?
How are the kids?
I'm like, mom, it's Andrew Dice Clay. Like, oh, he got fat. And I'm like, oh, I'm talking about fat Andrew Dice Clay getting a blowjob with my mother. I'm like, this is the worst day of my life. Like,
and then the rip in the time space continuum happened and
so help me God
forever.
Like, yeah, it felt like junior high again. Like, no, I just Cinemax, god damn it, young lady.
I'm washing my hair, mom, leave me alone.
You've been washing your hair for 2 hours, David.
We have no more conditioner.
Oh, episode's gone to hell.
Any other good stories you want to hit?
No, I mean the guy from Bitcoin finally outed himself that no one knew who started it, and they thought it was that Japanese guy, but apparently it's some computer scientist from Australia. You know, that decided now is the good time to say hi instead of being anonymous, which I don't get.
And trust no one.
No, and then no one thinks it's him. Like, they still think the Jap, you know, it's not like, oh, okay, it's different. I'll buy it now. This guy's legit. Like, no, it doesn't change anything.
Since it's segment four, can we talk about all the things you can't buy if you're
That's the best. So, you know, I got friends on all sides of the political aisle, right? Like, hardcore righties, hardcore lefties, and everybody in between. And I love the guys that are all boycotting Target because you can't. Because they're letting guys poop in the girls' john.
Which I think is totally cool. You know, Penguacon, another one of those places that has non-gendered bathrooms.
We had – at one point we collected – there were six cross-dressers in our 80s party at one point. And my one friends that came that weren't familiar with Penguacon were like – because one of the gals' guys was like 6'5" and stuck out. Like he's just looking at me like going – what's happening? Right. But, you know, again, it's all about inclusion. I'm down with it. Like, you know, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. Right.
Gender identity. Absolutely.
So all these guys are coming out and saying, I'm boycotting Target. I'm boycotting Target. Right. Back great.
Walmart.
Great.
Good. There's more clearance for me.
Yeah, exactly. The lines are going to be lower. Well, guess what? There's 407 companies that scored a perfect 100 in terms of being I don't know what's the term, Nuri.
It's the CEI, the Corporate Equality Index, and it's put out by the Human Rights Campaign. Basically, okay. Measure support for LGBT employees and the whole community.
Perfect. Yeah. So here's where
it gets while you're using that hashtag boycott Target,
right.
Where are you going to put it? Because you can't post it on Facebook
or Google
or Twitter or Google.
No, you can't fly.
So where are you going to post the hashtag?
Well, I'm going to go to McDonald's and talk about it.
No,
oh,
you can't.
Wait. No, you can't.
You're going to crack a Budweiser to your friends? Sorry.
Oh, no. Shit, no.
Are you enraged from your iPhone? Can't do that.
No. And I've got high blood pressure, and I need to go to Walgreens or CVS to pick up my medication.
Wah, wah.
Oh.
So that, you know.
So I'm going to hop in my car, and I'm going to go drive and tell people about it. Oh, no.
Every time I see that crap, I was like, how do you keep track of everyone? Are you still boycotting Chick-fil-A that you couldn't eat anyway? Remember when that was a thing? Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, I'm taking a stand and boycotting. Like, do you think – no one gives a shit. Then don't shop there. Like, Walmart's evil. Then don't go. I don't care. Like,
it is evil.
Great. Don't go.
But then don't go. It's like it's not that hard. It's not just that hard of a concept. Like if
they don't pay their employees, well, don't work there.
Don't work there. Encourage other people not to work there.
Don't encourage anyone. Happens. Let them make their own decisions. God bless it. Don't encourage no one to do nothing. Let them do what they want to do. You want to eat dog food, Dave? I'm going to let you eat dog food. I'm not going to go, David, your vitamin content of that dog food isn't good enough for you.
It's 80-20.
Eat what you want.
At least a 70-30 to make it.
Exactly. They're not a good corporate.
Bob, I will go ahead and just put this on the table. Like, if you ever find me eating dog food, please ask me what the hell's wrong with me. It's probably a scream for help.
Taco Bell meat is close to dog food.
or Dave had those brownies that I had at PinguiCon this last week.
There's always too, yeah.
Hey, that's a new like you could do HelloFresh for dogs, and you could eat that.
Is that a thing? Is that one of those, really?
There could – I bet you. There's a thing, something for everyone.
Get on the Google.
Dude, they have Loot Crate for dogs. For the love of
which,
you know, I almost said the F word. For the love of, you know what?
Dog.
For the love of dog. Yeah, exactly. The Loot Crate for dogs. Like my dog's going to be outside. Like, ooh, a Loot Crate came. I'm going to get a new chew toy. The first of the month. It's like government check day for your dog.
Where's my chew toy?
Yeah, exactly. New chew toy inside. Like, so stupid. They got so many. They got a box for, I swear to God, that it's just like Uber now. Everybody wants to be the Uber of everything. Everybody wants to be the Loot Crate of everything, and it's gotten to be stupid and no one cares. I don't need, like, Detroit has one. Like, I don't need a new Faygo, a new Better Made flavor, and a new Coney chili packet every month.
Go to the gas station.
Thank you. Like, or just order Better Made online if you can't get it at the store. Like, you really need a surprise, like, oh, dill pickle Better Made. It's so exciting. Like, it's so stupid. Just order the damn things. Does it need to be a surprise? Are we that spoiled as a society?
Well, is it really a surprise when you know it's coming every month?
Well, no, because you don't know if it's dill pickle or if it's salt and pepper or if it's honey barbecue or if it's rock and rye or cola or moon mist. It's a surprise.
Hey, I buy things drunk on the internet all the time.
So do I.
A surprise on my doorstep.
Drunk Amazoning is like a thing.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Have you never heard the number of times Bob has come home to his house hammered and found, like, a box of some sort on his porch? He's like, ooh, what I buy.
And it's stinking toilet paper, and I'm getting angry.
It's like, when I install that damn Tide button? God damn it.
That day was so – I was so happy. There was a huge box on the front porch, and I got home at, like, 3. And I bring
it
in.
And it was, like, 3 weeks after the Xbox One showed up. I remember this.
Yeah. And it's the crate of Scott toilet paper I ordered. I'm like – and I throw one across the
room. He ordered, like, the 180 – roll pack from Amazon.
Or your kids push
my wife said it was a good deal and to order it, so I did. I don't know what you want from me.
Where
Costco.
Do you put all that toilet paper, dude?
Well, we got a
pretty good size house. Yeah. That's nice. I like it. That's good. but not as big as mine.
So we did. Have you met Bob? He's actually got an entire room dedicated to toilet paper.
Right.
He builds cool sets
just
like at Walmart.
No, we did do the subscription for like all the Tide stuff and the pods and the I don't know.
Because you can't pour from a container.
No, the pods. It's much easier. It's all about the making it easy.
Again, have you met?
I don't do laundry. Let's get that like one straight clean. I'll cook.
He buys the 8-gallon container of Tide, I understand it is a little hard to pick up and like pour into the washing machine.
Indeed.
Makes sense.
Right.
Totally.
We have a counter, though, above the high-efficiency front-loading.
Do you ever just that watch I don't an entire use. Cycle before?
No, I don't do laundry.
Kind of calming.
You're a high efficiency front loader.
That's gross.
But hey, we are going to wrap things up. This is
should.
It's been a crazy show. Fun. Episode 142 of the IT and the D Show. Want to thank Brian Anderson from OST. Want to thank Randy Krasminski from Local Apparel.
I want to thank you for still being able to pronounce his last name at this point.
I don't know how to spell it. I tried the other night to Google it. I've known him since we've been like 14, and I still for this day I don't know how to spell it. But want to thank Dan Phillips, the makeup artist. Want to thank I was going to say Ann B. Davis.
No, it wasn't Alice.
I know.
William
B. Davis bringing Sam the meat.
We're going to go home and watch a bunch of X-Files episodes tonight in his honor.
And I kind of think I might have to.
And last but not least, Alloy Ash. Looking forward to next week. We're going to have some more craziness with the Comic-Con call-ins.
We are, and we've just confirmed that on the 16th, Ming's going to be hanging out with us.
From Comic Book Ben, Ming Chen. Yeah, we got an email from him when we were hammered going, guys, I'm staying over Monday. I want a podcast with you.
You're in the studio?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. No, he's coming in. Dude. So after being drunk with him all weekend, we're going to drag him to the studio Monday night and see what happens.
Or probably Monday afternoon because he's probably going to be like, I'm not staying until 11, you clowns.
I took that day off, so we're good.
Yeah, exactly. I have to. But hey, this has been episode 142 of the IT and the D Show. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. We'll see you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See ya.
Emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the cheese. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now!
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.